Anybody got anything to share that just right on the top of your heart tonight? Not unless, Miss Glenda, go ahead. Sure will. Sure will. Yeah. All right. How's Brother Allen?
He's doing okay. They got approved in. They got the insurance.
Great. Great.
But he's having a little bit of trouble with his
swallowing. Yes. Sure will. We sure will. Thank you, Miss Glenda. Anybody else? Just anything around right the top of your heart? Normally we wait a few minutes before we get into prayer requests, but it can be a praise. It can be something that you encounter this week. That's crazy.
Got a call today from a friend and another friend of mine who's put on hospice.
Sorry to hear that, Miss Mary. Sorry to hear that. We will certainly pray for her tonight.
Her name is Betty.
Thank you for sharing that. Anyone else? Anything going on in your life this week? Anything crazy happened to you? All right. Well, we'll get into our prayer time, and I'll just start reading right off the top of our list here. Let's remember our children's home and the tree lot. As usual, they're off to a great start. And I seen a picture with Brother David Henderson standing right next to Dansby and so on Facebook. And so I'm sure that was a blessing. Dansby, what's his first name? Last name Swanson. I don't know. I hope don't charge me against that now. I knew Dansby Swanson's name better than my own name. I don't know why I forgot it. But anyway, I hear he was back out there and just, you know, just like anybody else and enjoying himself. I heard he ate a little bit of barbecue out there, and that was cool. But anyway, let's remember our children's home and I'm not sure, but I think they may be gone Sunday morning. You know, typically during the Christmas season, they're going to different churches. And but let's pray for them, whatever direction they go in. Brother Dion Lauder, can y'all hear me okay? Dion Lauder and his knee replacement recovery. Joanne Rich and her knee pain. James and Shirley Townsend. Brother James and his breathing, I'm sure. So let's remember him. Alan Clayton, good to see he's getting better. Leonard and Dolores Palmer. Spoke with Brother Leonard for a little while after service Sunday morning out of his car. And of course, with his physical problems he's been encountering. I thought I would mention him and continue to pray for him. So, of course, Miss Dolores as well. And Brother Harold, he wasn't here Sunday, but he texted me a picture of his great-grandbaby, so I'm figuring he's okay. And he's always texting me little clips and snippets of different things. But he said he's doing okay. Don and Carla Rich, let's remember them. Brother Stephen and Sister Krista and the kids were here this past Sunday morning, and Miss Krista was waiting on some test results, and she got back some good results, and so we praise the Lord for that. Bobby and Nancy McClendon, Kelly and Tanner, let's remember them. Richard Martin, Miss Marianne, the request she just had her knee surgery coming up. Let's remember the Bendys, Miss Claudia Darby. She's had a terrible time with her throat, Miss Claudia has. I called her up, and she said hello, but it was like a squeak. It was like, no! It sounded like a mouse. And, I mean, not laughing truly, we're not laughing at a problem, but it was almost comical. I did not expect to hear that. It sounded like somebody stepped on a dog toy. And but anyway, she said, Lord willing, she's going to be back Sunday. And so, but let's remember her in our prayers. Miss Cece Prestridge in her health situations that she has. Randy and Diane Ely. The Dalys, Ashworth, Rusty and Chris Watkins. Melissa Slagle, Barbara Anderson, Jenny Clanton. The rest of our shut-ins. The McCrickards, Joyce Manning being shut-ins. James Tolan Brown in the Marines. Peyton Cochran in the Navy. Kevin Brook that just went back this week to Champion Christian College. Let's remember him. Are there any other requests, updates, praises? Ms. Leah, unspoken. Other unspokens tonight? Absolutely. Anything else at all? Just remember our tree of memory, however we want to phrase it. And Miss Mary Ann brought in an ornament tonight. That was good to see. I see some others, so take a look at that on your way out. And I hope others take advantage of this opportunity as well. I know it may be sensitive grounds for some to do that. Some, I can imagine, would probably stir up some emotion. But for others, it's healing. And so, at any rate, the tree is there, and I thought it would be a great thing to do. So remember that. And just looking ahead at our Christmas morning service, it will be at 11 a.m., no Sunday school. And, of course, we'll be out around 12, and we'll have some Christmas music. And I'm trying to take a look at my inventory in our communion room here. And I'd like to have Christmas communion, if we could, on Christmas morning. Have our Christmas music, Christmas communion. We can grab our ornaments from the tree. I think that'll be a good Christmas morning service. And so you help us pray for that as we try to get that together. All right. Anything else? Okay. Well, let's all gather around the altar, all that would and could, and we'll have a time of prayer together. You can pray where you're at, or you can come down front. You know how it is, how we do things. And Brother Jeff has a song for us, and then we're going to continue our Christmas theme tonight. Make sure I ain't going crazy on the time. Just want to remind everybody to vote. Not getting political, but me and Brother David were chatting on the way in, and so we have this runoff. Let's remember to vote. Of course, I'm preaching to the choir on that, I'm sure. And every time I think of Herschel, I think of Hershey's. And I told Christy, I said, man, that'd be good if whenever he was on, whenever he's out there, just hand out some Hershey bars. You know? I mean, come on. And I don't know. I just think that way. But go out and grab you a Hershey for Herschel. And pray the Lord to intervene. Also, I wanted to share that I was able to preach this morning at Grace Christian Academy again. And I always like to share that just because of the need of preaching that our young people stand in need of. And had a great time this morning. And so I realized this. I never have felt led to be a youth man. I don't know. I've always felt like I've been an older soul. But I've learned this from preaching up there, that I can't do it there like I do it here. I have to have some kind of reach out and grab their attention. And so this whole year, I mean, I can do it there as I do it here. It's God's Word. But young people, you got to get their attention. So every time I go and preach there, I always try to make sure I have some catchy introduction, something on their level. This morning it was Jordan basketball shoes I used. Just anything to get their attention. And I could tell a difference. I use a simple illustration in the beginning, and I have them the whole message. If I don't, I don't have them the whole message. It's really an amazing thing. So I just wanted to share that. John chapter number 3. We started Sunday night with our attention on Christmas, our attention, our focus, getting moved back toward Christmas and Christ, who is the reason for the season, as you know. And we're still in November. I'm ready for December. But I just really, really want to look as much as we can at Jesus. And we had a good response Sunday night. I preached that message before. Every year I do. I just really sense that all of our attention being moved back solely upon the Lord and off of the things of this world, it really did some folks some help, and so we appreciate that feedback. So tonight we want to continue that, and this is another one that I like to share annually, but it's John 3:16, and what I want us to do, I want us to all read this at the same time, if we could. I'll get us started, and then I want to mention some things tonight out of this verse, and the title is A Look at God's Gift. Let's read it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. All right, that's John 3:16. Again, I want us to look at this verse afresh and anew. We've heard preaching and teaching, and you've recited the verse probably since you were little in Sunday school. But just a fresh glimpse at John 3:16, and I have the three same points I want to mention as I always do. But these points are points I can't get over. They're meaningful points. They're points that matter. And it's been a year since we've looked at it, and so I want to look at it again. Number one, I want us to look at the motive of this gift. The motive. What was the motive of this gift that God gave man? Of course, we know that Jesus is the gift, but what was the motive? Well, the motive was love. Notice what he says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The motive was love. It was love. And love can do a lot of things tonight. Love will make you go the extra mile. Love will cause you to forgive. Love covereth a multitude of sins. It's just something about love that is fresh, that's contagious, and especially the love of God. And so the motive of this gift for God to give Jesus was love. Now, this wasn't an ordinary love, but it was an extraordinary love. Sunday night, we talked about his name shall be called, and the first word we used was wonderful, and that word wonderful means extraordinary. And we said that Jesus is extraordinary. He was the ordinary man with a lot of extra. Well, this love wasn't an ordinary love. It was an extraordinary love. This love wasn't a natural love, but a supernatural love. The love that God the Father had that caused him to send God the Son. A supernatural love. This is natural with a lot of super on it, is how I like to put it. God's love. Natural with a lot of super on it. But it's not just love that gets my attention out of this verse, but it's the two letters, that one word before love, that really causes me to figure out the kind of love that God really has. He says, for God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. Not just loved the world, but he so loved the world. Now, it's one thing tonight to say that I love you, but it's a whole other thing to say I love you so much. I've said this before, but I'll say it again, that if I told Christy, I would say, I love you. Well, that's great. It sounds good, and it touches her heart. I hope it does still touch her heart. But if I were to say, I love you so much, there's a ring to that, isn't there? There's just something different between saying, I love you, and I love you so much. And so the question is, how much is so? How much is so? Well, we know God's love is extraordinary love. We know it's supernatural love. We know it's unconditional love. But how much is so? It's hard to determine how much love is wrapped up in those two letters, S-O. Turn, if you would, to Ephesians chapter number 3. Ephesians chapter number 3. We'll look and see a little bit of how much love is wrapped up in the word so. Ephesians chapter number 3. Let's start in verse 13. The Bible says, wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend, here it is, trying to comprehend the love of God, with all saints, what is the breadth, the length, and depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. In verse number 18, he gives some dimensions of this love. He mentions the breadth, the length, and depth, and height. And in my mind, when I read those dimensions, what comes in my mind is the cross. He talks about the length, the depth, the breadth, and the height. All of those things, in my mind, what it does is it gives a picture of the cross. And then he says in verse number 19, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. And so to ultimately know how much love is wrapped up in those two letters, S-O, is really, it passes knowledge to know that how a man could go to the cross and bleed and die for us. We weren't even created yet, yet he knew that we would sin and that we would be sinners and that he would give his very best. God the Father would give his very best, God the Son, for sinners such as we. That passes knowledge. It really does. It passes knowledge. We can't comprehend that kind of love. But nonetheless, it is definitely a love that passes knowledge. He says again in verse 18, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Back to John chapter number 3. Talking about the motive of this gift. And we know the motive is love. He says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And we know it's not just an ordinary love, but it's an extraordinary love. He says, for God so loved the world. So much love is wrapped up in those two letters, S-O. Now let's go a step further and not only look at the motive of this gift, but the miracle of this gift. The miracle. What was the miracle of this gift? There's two things which would, I would call this a miraculous gift. Number one, the sonship of this gift. But number two, the suffering of this gift. Now notice if you would, when he says, only begotten Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The miracle of this gift has to do with sonship, has to do with God the Father's Son. Now, the King James Bible says only begotten Son. And I'm a stickler to that because it really holds a deeper truth than only Son. If it were to say his only Son, that would be false. Because Jesus isn't God's only Son. We are the sons and daughters of God who trust him for salvation. But the Bible says only begotten Son. And the words begotten means single of its kind. Only born. I like saying it this way. Jesus was a one of one. Now, in the baseball card world, you can open a pack of baseball cards, and some of them are numbered. Some of them have numbers on the back. The important ones have numbers. One time, I was opening a pack of baseball cards, and I was looking on the back, and one said 49 out of 50. So that means that there were 50 cards of this kind, and it was colored, it was shiny, and had an autograph on it, actually. Baseball cards are that way now. You can get real autographs out of card packs. And I had the 49th card out of 50 that were made in this entire world. That's pretty good. You can probably sell that for a good price on eBay. But there's never been a time. Now, there's some for sale on eBay, and others have pulled these cards, but if you ever get a card that's a one of one, that means that is the absolutely only kind of its kind in this entire world. I seen a guy the other day on YouTube, and he was opening a box of baseball cards called Allen & Ginner. It's a Topps brand. and he pulled a miniature Ken Griffey Jr. Baseball card. It looked about like that. And it was, the only thing that was different from that one and all the rest of them, there were other little miniature ones, but this one was shiny and the others weren't. And he turned it over and it was a one-of-one printed from, and to a lot of people that may not mean a lot, but he looked it up and it was for sale for over $2,000 just for that one miniature card, because it was a one-of-one, the only kind of its kind. Well, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, the only one of his kind, single of his kind, only born. You see, it matters that God's Son is called his only begotten Son, because there are no others like this one. This was the only one that came to earth through a virgin womb, that walked among men, that bled and died and gave his life, was buried, and on the third day rose again. The only one of its kind did that. No others can do that who claim to be the Savior of the world. And so that was a miracle. That's one of the miracles when it comes to this gift, is his sonship. Now, I mentioned a moment ago, if it said his only son, that wouldn't be the truth, because through faith and repentance in Jesus, we become his sons and daughters. But there's a difference. We're not born, obviously, physically like Jesus was a son or a daughter. We know we're born spiritually, reborn spiritually as son or daughter. But we are adopted. We are adopted as his children. Jesus was the only physical born one, but we are known as being adopted into the family of God, adopted as his children. And so we see the sonship here. But then I want us to look at the suffering. The suffering. And this made this gift a miracle as well. No one would give their child up like God did. When I think about giving up Lily, if I had to give up Lily for the sins of the world, I wouldn't do that. You know, I'm not God. I'm sure you wouldn't give up your child for the sins of the world, for the sinners of this world. You wouldn't do that. Not even for one person, not for the whole world. Yet God gave his up for all of mankind, allowed him to bleed and suffer. Turn, if you would, to Romans 5. The miracle of this gift. It was a miracle because of his sonship, the only begotten Son, and then it was a miracle because of the suffering. The suffering. I say it was miraculous. It was a miracle because he allowed his one and only Son, his one and only begotten Son, to suffer for the likes of you and I. Romans chapter 5, verse number 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. And here it is. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. The word scarcely means with much work or difficulty. With much work and much difficulty will one die, the Bible says, for a righteous man. All right? He says, yet peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. And so for a good man, a hard-working man, a moral man, not in the same bracket as this righteous man, but a good man, some would possibly die. They wouldn't die necessarily for a righteous man. With much difficulty, you may find someone to die for a righteous man, but possibly some would die for a good man. But then he says, verse number 8, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so we weren't righteous, we weren't good, we were ungodly, and yet Christ died for us. You couldn't find, you with much difficulty, you may be able to find someone to die for a righteous man, possibly for a good man, definitely none for a sinner man, but yet God died through His Son. He sent His Son to die for us, and we are the sinner men and women. And see, Paul wrote it this way to contrast the great love that Jesus had for us and has for us, that there wouldn't be any to die for a righteous or a good man. Definitely not. Definitely not a sinner, but yet God Himself deposited Himself as Jesus into the virgin womb of Mary, and He went to the cross to bleed and die for us. And so that's a miracle. That's miraculous. How that He would suffer and die, that God will give up His only Son, not for the righteous, not for the good, but for sinners. And so we see the miracle of this gift in His suffering. We see the miracle of this gift in His sonship. But then, number three, and I'll be through tonight, we see the magnitude of this gift. The magnitude. Back to John chapter number 3. The magnitude. What do you mean magnitude? Well, this gift, it doesn't fizzle out, but it keeps on going. It doesn't run out, but it endures. He says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And so it's the gift that keeps on giving. Everlasting life doesn't start after you die, but it starts now when you embrace Jesus as your Savior. This is when everlasting life starts. And then it continues throughout eternity. It's the gift that keeps on giving. Again, this gift starts at salvation. John 10:28. You don't have to turn there. And this gift continues through eternity. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, I've used an illustration before. I used to hear Brother Berman say it back when he would preach on believing in versus believing on. And tonight, I guess I'll, this chair up here, this illustration has always stuck with me. Now, I believe that chair can hold me. This is what believing in and believing on, the difference. And I can sit here all day and say that I believe that chair can hold me. I believe it's sturdy enough. I believe it's comfortable. And that's the end of it. Okay? That's believing on that chair. I believe on that chair. I believe it'll hold me. No experience, no knowledge, no relationship at all. Now, this is believing in the chair. It's when I go up here and I sit in it. Now, it's changed from a head knowledge of saying, oh, I believe in something, versus actually putting it into experience and saying, oh, yeah, I have personal experience of believing in this chair. I know for a fact it will hold me. And you see, we're living in a world where everybody believes in Jesus, you know. Everybody's saved. Everybody believes in the Lord. Everybody you talk to, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, I'm going to heaven when I die. They're just expressing the head knowledge they have. They're just saying, oh, I believe that chair will hold me. I believe that chair is comfortable, but they never have put it in faith and experience and accepted the Lord down in their heart. That's the difference. And so He says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him, experience is Him, should not perish but have everlasting life. I'll never forget that illustration, and it really makes sense tonight. That's the way. That's every person has to experience this gift themselves. And just by saying, oh, yeah, I believe in God, I believe in Jesus, I believe that He came and bled and died, well, have you put that faith into action? Have you accepted Him into your heart? That's the message tonight. I know it was more on the shorter end of the spectrum, but just wanted to take a look at God's gift. Wanted to wanted to keep it going from Sunday night to tonight. And the Lord willing, we'll get into some more things. And I want to get into some new looks at Christmas this year as we get into December. So you pray for us as we try to take a look at some other things pertaining to Christ and Christmas, and maybe even get into some prophecy verses being fulfilled. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you, Lord, for who you are and for what you do. Lord, I pray that you'll just take this simple lesson tonight, Lord. Oh, it's so filled with truth, though. Lord, how that you sent your only begotten Son, one of one, Lord, to die for us. And Lord, we celebrate that at this time of year. And Lord, we're just so very thankful for those who have put their faith into action, God, and believed in you, O Lord, and you are their Savior. I pray today, tonight, as we go our separate ways, that we will keep this fresh and new in our hearts and our minds, and as we finish out this week, God, we'll come back to your house ready, Lord, for you to do what you would like to do through us in your house, God. We want to see souls saved. We want to see lives changed. But God, help us to just surrender all so you can do whatsoever you please. We love you tonight, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody got anything they want to mention or add to tonight before we dismiss?
I've got to say.
Okay.